Why do drugs cost so much more in the United States than they do in the rest of the world? That is the subject of our medical bill of the month. Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal joins us once again. She's editor-in-chief of our partner, Kaiser Health News. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
Okay, so who are we hearing from today?
Today we meet Paul Hines and Josie Tenor, a couple who live in suburban Chicago. Paul's a consultant who has cancer, and he and Josie were outraged that his cancer drug cost so much, and even more outraged when they discovered why.
Ah, well, let's find out the why from Dan Weissman. He's a reporter, host of the Arm and a Leg podcast, who visited Paul and Josie.
Josie Tenor is a doctor. A friend set her up with Paul Hines in 2017, and at first, she wasn't that interested.
He yes. pulled an interesting line on me. Go ahead, use the line.
No, you use the line.
So he basically said, well, you know, why don't you go and find somebody else? But in the meantime, why should you be alone? I could entertain you. And then, of course, he proceeded to occupy every waking moment of my life.
No room for anyone else. But she did pose him a tough question right up front. Hey, pal, when's the last time you had a physical? It had been years.
3, 4, 5.
And I'm like, no, I don't date people who don't take care of themselves. So go to the doctor and get a physical.
And here's where the rom-com story takes a turn. The blood work from that physical came back with a marker for prostate cancer, and a biopsy showed Paul had an advanced case. Josie and Paul have been together ever since, and she has guided Paul's quest for the most effective, least invasive treatment. Prostate tumors feed on testosterone, which big doses of cannabis can suppress. It wasn't Paul's drug of choice.
I mean, like, you know, college 30 years ago, but yeah, it wasn't my thing.
But for this purpose, it worked. Just one problem. A lot of weed all day, every day, was not compatible with Paul's high-powered consulting jobs. Onward to cutting-edge treatment in Canada and then surgery to remove Paul's prostate. But the cancer kept coming back. Next stop, a drug called Lupron that suppresses testosterone almost entirely, which is no fun at all.
Also, testosterone is so important to cognitive function and motivation and energy. You're feeling really good when it's 1,000.
When it gets down to 7 or less,
it's no picnic.
And then there was the bill for the shot.
On his way to his second one, he told me the price. I'm like, what are you talking about? No, it couldn't be $38,000. That's ridiculous.
But that was the bill from the University of Chicago Hospital System. Most of it was for the medicine itself. And as Josie knew from her medical practice, Lupron is not a new designer drug.
I used to give it to endometriosis patients for $30.
After his second dose, Paul asked if there was a cheaper option. A pharmacist said, yeah, a pill. Much cheaper. About $200 a month for Paul. But he was still on the hook for those first two shots. After insurance, the hospital said he owed just over $8,000. He's paying now in installments. A successful consulting career gave Paul the resources to pursue every treatment he and Josie thought was worth trying, but he doesn't have money to burn.
After several years of this, the resources are not what they used to be. Mm-hmm.
Money's not his only concern. Lupron isn't a cure, and after a few years, it tends to stop working.
The cancer outsmarts the drug.
Cancer outsmarts the drug, at which point then you start running out of options.
When he's got the energy between cycles of treatment, Paul says he's working on his bucket list. He and Josie took a biking trip this fall before starting the next round. For NPR News, I'm Dan Weissman.
Okay, so let's try to figure out what's happening here with Elizabeth Rosenthal. Can you give us the backstory here? How would a drug that in recent memory was $30 is now $38,000?
Well, it's a long story. Lupron was invented about 50 years ago, but drug makers got brand new patents on it, giving it new years of monopoly pricing every time they released a new form of it.
I thought that after a while, a patent on a drug is supposed to expire.
There are literally dozens of ways that drug makers, like the manufacturers of Lupron, now routinely find ways to extend those patents. They make a slow release form, as they did here. They can develop a pediatric product, produce them in a chewable form, file some lawsuits. And presto, the FDA awards them a new patent, even though the chemical in the drug is exactly the same. And then, of course, hospitals can mark up the prices as much as they want, just like, booze in a restaurant.
So the drug companies are playing a game, in a sense. Is there anything that patients can do on their end to play the game and keep themselves from being overcharged?
Yeah, as long as they understand the game. The first thing is that if a patient needs an infusion or an injection, It's better to get it at an outpatient clinic or a doctor's office than a hospital. Hospitals add the highest facility fees. So just where you go to get it makes a huge difference.
What else?
Well, the other thing which we saw with this case is it's important to know that because doctors and hospitals charge these big fees for administering drugs, you should always ask, can I get this in a pill form or in a different kind of injection that I can give myself at home? And the answer is often yes, but you know what? The financial incentives are aligned against your doctor telling you that. And as we saw with Paul and Josie's case, they had to ask about that. And then the pharmacist said, oh, sure. And it saved them not just a lot of money, but also, as Josie said, a big pain in the rear.
Okay. Another motivation to push for answers. Dr. Rosenthal, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Elizabeth Rosenthal is with Kaiser Health News. And if you have a medical bill that just doesn't seem right to you, or is just really large, go to NPR's Shots blog and tell us about it.